Welcome to the Gospel of Everything podcast, where we consider everything in the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I am your host, John Davis. On this show, we do not obsess over the end of the world, but rather we are looking to see the glory of God show up in every area of our lives. We are not waiting to go down in glorious defeat. We are expecting to win. You are listening to part two of a two-part episode on Should We Cancel Culture? I would like to call your attention to the Bible, the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 8. First Samuel, chapter 8, is the passage where Israel demands to have a king like other nations. And God basically says, don't do it. Samuel feels like they've rejected him, and God says, no, they've rejected me. But interestingly, in Deuteronomy chapter 17, God had given them permission to have a king. So there's something more going on here than God doesn't like monarchy, so to speak, right? But let's read 1 Samuel chapter 8. I'm just going to read this. When Samuel became old, he made his sons judges over Israel. The name of the firstborn son was Joel, and the name of his second Abijah. They were judges in Beersheba. Yet his sons did not follow in his ways, but turned aside after gain. They took bribes and perverted justice. So the government, John's commentary here, the government at the time was having corruption. Then all the elders of Israel gathered together and came to Samuel at Ramah, and said to him, you are old, and your sons do not follow in your ways. Appoint for us then a king to govern us like other nations. But the thing displeased Samuel when they said, give us a king to govern us. Samuel prayed to the Lord, and the Lord said to Samuel, listen to the voice of the people and all that they say to you, for they have not rejected you, but they have rejected me from being king over them, just as they have done to me from the day I brought them out of Egypt to this day, forsaking me and serving other gods, so also they are doing to you. Now then, listen to their voice. Only you shall solemnly warn them and show them the ways of the king who shall reign over them. So Samuel reported all the words of the Lord to the people who were asking him for a king. He said, these will be the ways of the king who will reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them to his chariots and to be his horsemen and to run before his chariots. And he will appoint for himself commanders of thousands and commanders of fifties, and some to plow his ground and to reap his harvest and to make his implements of war and the equipment of his chariots. He will take your daughters to be perfumers and cooks and bakers. He will take the best of your fields and vineyards and olive orchards and give them to his courtiers. He will take one-tenth of your grain and of your vineyards and give it to his officers and his courtiers. He will take your male and female slaves and the best of your cattle and donkeys and put them to his work. He will take one-tenth of your flocks, and you shall be his slaves. And in that day you will cry out because of your king whom you have chosen for yourselves. But the Lord will not answer you in that day. But the people refused to listen to the voice of Samuel. They said, no, but we are determined to have a king over us, so that we may be like other nations, and that our king may govern us and go out before us and fight our battles. When Samuel heard all the words of the people, he repeated them in the ears of the Lord. The Lord said to Samuel, listen to their voice, and set a king over them. Samuel then said to the people of Israel, each of you return home. So let's think about what's happening here. The children of Israel are unhappy with their government, and it sounds like they had some legitimate reasons, like there was some corruption in Samuel's government, their old judicial system of government where there were judges over them, a very small, very simple government. In fact, the book of Judges describes it as everyone did what was right in their own eyes. So they did not have a strong, central, controlling government. They had the law of God. They had the Levites to teach them the law of God. And they had judges over them. right? They had judges. And Samuel at this time was the chief judge or the top judge or whatever. He presided over their disputes, and he was trying to train up his sons to do the same. But there was something in the children of Israel's request, and God, who knows the heart more than you or I know, saw that they were rejecting the rulership of God. So maybe they had a legitimate complaint here. It appears to indicate that in the scripture. But we also know by this revelation in God's word that they were rejecting the authority and leadership of God. So there is a kind of desiring stronger central government that is a rejection of the authority of God, a deification of the king. Or I would submit that it would apply to the general principle of a strong central government. They want someone to govern them. So they don't want to be self-governed. They don't want to be governed by the law of God and by their people teaching them the word and by their own local judges, right? With a supreme judge over the land for resolving bigger disputes. All of this described in the books of Moses. They don't want that. They want someone to govern them, to do the governing for them. They want someone to go before them and fight their battles for them. They don't want to fight the battles. They don't want self-government. They're rejecting here self-government. They're rejecting fighting their own battles. And they're saying, we want a king to govern us. We want to be ruled. They're saying we want to be under a tyrant. We want to be ruled. And we want someone else to fight our battles for us. We want a mighty man. And of course, they only really had this idea of a king, right? But it's a centralized, more powerful government. They wanted a government to save them. And God warns them through Samuel, right? God warns them and says, these are the things that are going to happen. He's going to take a tenth of all your stuff. So just pause and think about that. A 10% civil government tax is presented here as tyranny and oppression that you're going to cry out against. Now think about what kind of taxes you're paying in America or whatever country you're in today. 10% civil government tax is like an oppressive, tyrannical amount of taxation. And I'm not sure if maybe this is a reference to an additional 10% in addition to the tithes, or if it's saying the government will take the tithes. Hey, if you know, tell me something in a comment somewhere about that. So I'm not sure which that is, but either way, a 10% taxation of everything. Your sons and your daughters are going to have to go work for this king. And there's going to be basically oppression, right? And it's going to lead to them crying out to God because of the king. So here's what happens. They wanted to replace God's authority with government authority. They didn't want to be ruled by their simple religious and local civil structures and a simple national structure. They wanted a strong national government. And they wanted someone else to govern them. And the end result that God promises is they will be slaves. They have deified the state, and they will become slaves of this state under this king. Do you find some principles in there that you can apply today? Now, of course, this passage does not specifically address anything, you know, specifically about the issue of cancel culture or regulating speech. But as much as that issue is important, the issue I really want to get into you is, are you sure you want the government to save you? Are you sure the government is meant to be sovereign over everything? Are you sure? When I say government, I mean the human civil government. Now, there is teaching about human civil government in the Bible, which hopefully over the months and years, we will cover a lot of that. So I am not teaching anarchy here, that we shouldn't have any government. But what I am saying is, let's look at our hearts and see in what ways are we, and hey, let's look at us ourselves as conservatives and Christians, or if you're a Christian and not a conservative, whatever you are. I'm probably more of an independent than a conservative, but whatever I am. Let's look at our own hearts and see, have we made an idol of the state? do we imagine the state can do things that it cannot do? Are we asking the state to have power like God and be sovereign over everything in life like the way God is? Right? What is the solution to all this? Well, I want to submit to you that you just heard a passage teaching the idea of limited human civil government. This is a Christian idea, and it was an ancient Hebrew idea. And here are some considerations for you, okay? As you study the Bible, you're going to find that one of the implications of the civil government not being God and not having the attributes of God, such as omnipresence and omniscience, for examples, not everything in life comes under the jurisdiction of civil government. So civil government is limited. And here's my primary theory. I'm still learning myself here, but my current theory, the best understanding I have, is that civil government is an agency of the sword that's primary purpose is to punish those crimes as taught in the Bible as crime. Okay, not just anything we make up as a law, but those crimes that God has revealed as crime, as taught by the Old and New Testaments, interpreted, you know, the Old Testament interpreted through the New, right? That, I just pulled open a huge can of worms there that hopefully we'll talk about as time goes by. But civil government, the state, what we usually call government, is one sphere of social order, and it does not have all authority like God does. We attribute to the state, to the government, all authority, as if the government can do anything it wants, or if there's 51%, the government can do anything it wants. And somehow we have this vague idea that the Constitution should be, you know, regulating or restricting the power of government, but it's like we've forgotten where that idea comes from, that the government is limited. The government is not limited only by the Constitution, it's also limited by the law of God. That's right, I just said that human civil government is limited by God's laws. We can't do whatever we want. We cannot use force in society to make it however we want by force. God has not authorized this anywhere. But you may think, oh, I don't believe that, but look closely at how often you're calling for the government to do things to make the world the way you think it should be. Why is it that even we Christians and conservatives and even some people who call themselves libertarians immediately think, well, that shouldn't be like that, meaning the government should do something about it, or they shouldn't be allowed to do that, the government should stop them. Or, you know, this area of society shouldn't be like that. Somebody, by which they mean a government program, should do something, right? How often, we know that progressive statists and socialists do that, but how about you? It's time for us to look in the mirror and get the idolatry of the state out of our own hearts, right? So where do we find these limits on civil government that I am claiming exist here? In the Bible. What? John, are you suggesting the combination of church and state? Well, keep listening to this podcast. We'll cover that eventually. But in general, it says in the end of the book of Matthew, that all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus. So right now, at this very moment, every single human civil government is under the authority of Jesus Christ. It doesn't matter if it's a Hindu nation or a Muslim nation or a secular nation or a Christian nation or a Buddhist nation. It doesn't matter. Every single human civil government is under the authority of Christ right now. So first of all, if indeed the Constitution did say there must be a separation between all religion and religious ideas and the state and government, which it does not say. But if it did say that, that would not mean the Bible is wrong. That would mean the Constitution is wrong. Yes, I just said the Bible is a higher authority than the Constitution. not any personal interpretation of the Bible that I have and wish to implement on society. I'm talking about the actual content, the actual words, the actual teachings are the authority for all of human life. Okay? And let's talk specifically about Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 14 through 20. I'm going to read another passage for you. Feel free to follow along if you would like. Deuteronomy 17, 14 through 20. And this is, Moses speaking to the people, or the Bible speaking to the people. When you have come into the land that the Lord your God is giving you, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, and you say, I will set up a king over me, like all the nations that are around me, you may indeed set over you a king whom the Lord your God will choose. Well, there's your first limit, John's commentary there. One of your own community you may set as king over you. You are not permitted to put a foreigner over you who is not of your community. Even so, he must not acquire many horses for himself, or return the people to Egypt in order to acquire more horses, since the Lord has said to you, you must never return that way again. And he must not acquire many wives for himself, or else his heart will turn away. Also, silver and gold he must not acquire in great quantity for himself. When he has taken the throne of his kingdom, he shall have a copy of this law written for him in the presence of the Levitical priests. It shall remain with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life, so that he may learn to fear the Lord his God, diligently observing all the words of this law and these statutes, neither exalting himself above other members of the community, nor turning aside from the commandments, either to the right or to the left, so that he and his descendants may reign long over his kingdom in Israel. Amen. So this is filled with limits on the king. They can't have anyone they want as king. They have to pick one of their own, okay? That king cannot exalt himself above other members of the community. He's just like us. Sounds more like a president, huh? In some ways, a little more like not what we would even call a king nowadays. He cannot turn away from God's commandments. He has to have his own copy of God's law, and he must read it every day for his whole life. And he is to implement those laws and those statutes. So the civil government of Israel was to follow the law of God. And hey, here's another juicy long conversation that keeps sticking with this podcast, and we will get to it eventually. But wait a minute, I thought we weren't under the law. We're not under the civil laws of Israel. Well, there's a passage in Deuteronomy that says that God gave these laws for all the nations to see. And Jesus said he did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it, right? You can read in Timothy that the word of God is breathed out by God for the purpose of instruction in righteousness, among other things. So learning right and wrong is still present in the New Testament from the Old Testament. So we can still learn about life today and how to live our life today from the law, even if we're not under the covenant of the law. We're under the covenant of grace because of Jesus, right? So, long conversation. Feel free to leave me a comment somewhere about that and inspire me to talk about it at some point. But overall, I want you to see this concept in the Bible that the king is limited. The government is limited by the law of God. And I submit that that still applies to this day. So, some conclusions as I draw this to a close. One, civil government is one of, maybe the most dangerous of the human institutions, such as family and church, or a business, or a voluntary organization, or all the different ways that people organize themselves. The civil government is the one that has been given the sword, according to the book of Romans, for the purpose of punishing evil, right? The civil government is an agent of violence, and it should be. It's supposed to be. But it's also the most dangerous human institution, because if it gets out of its boundaries of God's law, it becomes an idol. People make an idol. people, why is it that people are always wanting to worship the king or worship the emperor? Why do kings and emperors think they're somehow worthy of worship? If we relate to the civil government like a god, we will end up as slaves to that civil government. If we beg God for a tyrant over us, we're going to end up with a tyrant over us. So the next time you're thinking, I want the government to save me from Facebook, are you sure about that? Are you 100% sure? What if God could save us from Facebook without giving up our future freedoms to start our own platform and having our own God's law-driven censorship? I know I just said censorship, but there is no such thing as no censorship. Okay, you can't go on to Facebook and say, I'm calling everyone to show up at this address and we're going to go in and murder the family. That will be censored, and it should be, right? There is a place for censorship, and we can debate exactly what that place is. But when you and I start a platform that grows huge and we're working to establish the kingdom of God and Christian values in the earth, do we want the government to come and regulate us? If we beg to be saved by the all-powerful, all-knowing government now, we may have to face consequences later. Keep that in mind. Here's another thought in conclusion. The general goal of Christianity is internal liberty, not external force. So again, there is teaching in the Bible about the appropriate use of force by the civil government. And it's worth studying, and we will study it, God willing. But the general overall theme of Christianity is preach the gospel, teach the word of God, hearts are changed, minds are changed, and voluntary change of action occurs, and society changes this way. The primary means the Bible gives us to change the world is mission, preaching the gospel, evangelism, the whole gospel, everything the Bible teaches, discipling people. This is the main Christian way of social change. So let me put this in some other words for you. Christianity in general is not about getting the civil government to change the world. Christianity in general is about changing the world through internal change, one person at a time, multiplying into all the earth. Okay, once again, I did not say there is never a place for civil government. I'm just saying the general theme, and should be our general attitude. I would like us to think about this. When you look at society and want to change something, don't go first to what new law should there be. Don't go there first. Don't go first to what should the police do? What should the civil government do? What should the Congress do? What should my representative do? Look first to what is the Christian teaching? How do I show up and wash feet and serve and lay down my life and exemplify and teach the Christian way? Think about this. The most powerful government in the world, the government of the one true God, came to earth born as a baby and died on a cross for our sins. At any time, Jesus could have called down the angels to rescue him. But the one true God, the most powerful king, the only one who has the right to govern every area of life, the only one who has the power to govern every area of life by any way he chooses, including force, he chose instead to lay down his life for the sheep, to lay down his life for the people he governed. If you want to understand how society changes and how government should work, understand that first and foremost, all of us little Jesuses, that's what a Christian is, are out there living out the gospel in every area of life, preaching it, and this is where change comes from. It'll ultimately filter up to public policies, but public policy through the force of government is not always the answer. Sometimes it may very well be worth putting up with being mistreated by Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, even the government in some cases. It might be better and off to put up with the corrupt universities that are trying to silence our voice. Out of faith, that we're going to need the liberties of free speech and free expression and to teach and disciple in the future. And we don't want to shut down. All of that secular progressivism is a false gospel. And they're exercising their right to speak, to preach a false gospel of every area of life. That's what secular progressivism and liberalism is. It's a false gospel of all of life. So if we try and stop them from advancing their agenda by stifling their free speech or stifling their ability to act or live out, and in some cases, you know, if they're calling for the murder of the unborn, for example, we should try and stop them. But it might just be worth it some of the time to allow ourselves to be mistreated and to speak anyway, because the day will come where we're going to be holding the microphone, or our descendants will be holding the microphone, and we don't want to have put a tyrannical regime in place to silence and shut down whoever's holding the microphone, or to control them, right? It was for freedom that Christ has set us free, the book of Galatians says. No longer to be subject to a yoke of slavery. Don't do it. Be careful in what you call for and what you ask for. Be careful in what you ask the civil government to do. Be careful. Be very careful. I want us to remain free. And you know what? We don't need to be afraid of Facebook. We don't need to be afraid of YouTube. We don't need to be afraid of Twitter. We don't need to be afraid of Amazon. We don't need to be afraid of these big companies that are, in some cases, abusively using their power to silence people they disagree with. Because you know what? If we will stand on the gospel, if we will preach the gospel anyway, including all the principles of civil government that are included in the gospel, God will give us the land. I can't promise you how or when that will happen. I cannot promise you that you will not suffer consequences based on the actions of these social media giants or anyone else who's exercising cancel culture. I can't promise you that there won't be consequences. And you know, I didn't talk about universities very much, which is a whole other thing. Someday we are going to want to have all new Christian universities that are not coerced into anything by the government, but are free to teach and preach the gospel of all of life. Okay, just thought I would throw that one in there. I hope you will consider these things carefully, and I hope you will check your heart and slow down your cry to be rescued from oppression, or from especially oppression by private groups and individuals, by the government, and look instead to be rescued by God, and believe that we are going to have the victory. And let's not shoot ourselves in the foot by sowing the seeds of our own future oppression. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode. I really appreciate it. If you have not already done so, please take the time to subscribe to this podcast so you do not miss an episode. If you would like to give me feedback or suggestions, you can contact me at gospeloveverything.com/contact. If you would like to tell the world how awesome this podcast is, you can do so on your favorite platform by first visiting ratethispodcast.com/gospeloveverything. That's ratethispodcast.com/gospeloveverything. So thank you, victorious Christian Kingdom Ambassador, for being here with me today. I hope you are better equipped to win the battle that you are in every day, to see the currently ruling Kingdom of God manifest that rulership in every area of life. Thanks again, and talk to you next week. God bless. This is John Davis with the Gospel of Everything podcast, signing off. Thank you, friend, for taking your valuable time to listen to the Gospel of Everything podcast today. I hope you have been blessed and encouraged and have more hope for the future. Make sure right now to take a moment to subscribe in your favorite app. If you don't ever want to miss a thing, please visit gospeloveverything.com and subscribe to be notified by email as well. See you again next week for the next episode of the Gospel of Everything podcast. Be blessed.